Thank you, Susan. Our scripture lesson this morning is taken from Isaiah 53, verses 1 to 12. Who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow, and rejected by men. A man of sorrow and familiar with suffering. Like one from whom men hid their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he took upon our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. But oppression and judgment, he was taken away. And who could speak of his descendants? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people, he was stricken. He was assigned a grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death. Though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life a guilt offering, he will see his offspring and prolong his days. And the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After the suffering of his soul, he will see the light of life and be satisfied by his knowledge, by righteous servant, will justify many, and he will hear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion with the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many and made intercession for his transgression. Father, open our minds and help us to see you in all of your glory. We thank you for the price you paid that we might have eternal life. Help us to listen to what you have to say to us this day. And we'll give you the praise, the honor, and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Today we're looking at the title, A Visit to Calvary. Isaiah 53, 4 to 5, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, but he was wounded for our transgressions. Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper. He instructed his disciples, as often as you do this, you do it in remembrance of me. By this, he was suggesting the possibilities of his servants making a visit to Calvary by inspired imagination. We learn much through travel and observation. One can travel by train, by bus, by automobile, and by plane. One can also travel by means of reading a good book, attending a travelogue, or watching a television program. Many Christians would like to visit the Holy Land and actually walk where Jesus walked. Some will have this joy, but the majority will never be able to visit Jerusalem except by inspired imagination. In observing the Lord's Supper, let us make a trip by inspired imagination to Calvary, and with eyes of the soul behold our Savior on the cross. First of all, we need to visit Calvary to discover our sinfulness. People have a natural tendency to ignore, conceal, excuse, and explain away their sin. We don't want to recognize that we have sinned. Once we make a visit to Calvary and see Jesus hearing the guilt, the shame, and penalty of our sin, we will find it almost impossible not to confess and forsake our sins. And two, we need to visit Calvary to discover the nature of our God. Many of the greater religions of the world have pictured God as possessing all of the vices of humans. Calvary reveals the greatness of our God's grace and mercy toward sinners. It was on Calvary that Christ Jesus obtained our redemption from the penalty of sin. This was redemption by love. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This was redemption by substitution. He took our place. We deserved to die, but Jesus took our place and died in our stead. This was redemption by sacrifice and suffering. He was beaten. He was spat upon. A crown of thorns was placed on his head. His side was pierced. All of this and much more, he was willing to take our place. We need to visit Calvary to discover the world's only hope of salvation. There are many false messiahs in the world. Some trust wealth. Some put their faith in education. Some have made a god out of science. Now, wealth and education and science are not all that bad until we put our trust in them and not in God. Only Jesus Christ can give a new heart and a new life. We need to visit Calvary for inspiration of service. In the elements of the Lord's Supper, we are dramatically reminded of how completely and how freely Jesus Christ gave himself for us. By faith and dedication to the will of God, Jesus Christ inspires us to follow his example. God will bring to fruition every act of self-denial and self-surrender for the sake of the gospel. He raised Christ from the dead, and he will bless your every sacrifice and your every effort. By inspired imagination, Isaac Watt visited Calvary and penned beautiful words that continue to challenge the hearts and lives of those who love the Lord. And I'm asking you this morning to close your eyes and to concentrate on the inspired words that he wrote. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ my God. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to his blood. See from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a present far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Father, speak to each one of us this morning as we wait before you, as we enter into this communion supper. Help us, Lord, that we will give all that we have and all that we are to your kingdom. And lead us in the way that you would have us to go. Help us to trust and serve you and be faithful in doing that which you call us to do. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. In your bulletin, you have